Well, I have to share with you all that when Pastor Sheila told us on the worship team that this new sermon series we'd be doing, New Year, Same Promises, would be one that would focus us on the book of the Psalms, I was equally parts excited and equally parts intimidated. I don't know if you're familiar with the entirety of the book of Psalms, but I know for me, they have been incredibly meaningful, foundational, formational in my life, and so I want to give them as much honor as they are due. The Psalms have comforted me in times of struggle, encouraged me in times of doubt, empowered me when there were moments where I was feeling fearful, and even they have given me a way to express anxiety, to express confusion, anger, and despair, which are admittedly things that I do not express very well on my own. It seems that the Psalms give us a voice at the times in our lives when we are not able ourselves to find the words that we need. And so it's a beautiful gift to be able to open the Psalms with you in the coming weeks to celebrate the same old promises of God in each and every new season of our lives. So I pray that God's going to help us today and in the coming days to hear the Psalms with fresh and discerning ears in the weeks ahead. This morning, though, we get to look at a specific psalm. We are looking at Psalm 40. If you have a Bible close by, there are pew Bibles. If you've got one on an app on your phone, feel free to turn to Psalm 40 with me this morning. We'll be talking about some different translations a little later on. And right now, I'm going to be reading from the Common English translation of the Bible, and it's going to be on the screens behind me. We're going to read up until verse 5, then skip to verse 8 and go to 11. So if you can follow along, I invite you to do so. But hear these words from Psalm 40. I put all my hope in the Lord. He leaned down to me. He listened to my cry for help. God lifted me out of the pit of death, out of the mud and the filth, and set my feet on solid rock. He steadied my legs. God put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. And many people will learn of this and be amazed. They will trust the Lord. And those who put their trust in the Lord, who pay no attention to the proud or to those who follow lies, those are the ones who are truly happy. You, Lord my God, you have done so many things, your wonderful deeds and your plans for us. No one can compare with you. So I want to do your will, my God. Your instruction is deep within me. And I've told the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly. I did not hold anything back, as you well know, Lord. I did not keep your righteousness only to myself. I declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I did not hide your loyal love and your trustworthiness from the great assembly. So now you, Lord, don't hold back any of your compassion for me. Let your loyal love and faithfulness always protect me. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as you hear those beautiful words, as you maybe had the chance to read them just now, I wonder if you can relate to any of those sentiments expressed, maybe putting all of your hope in the Lord. Can you think of a time when you experienced that kind of desire? Maybe you've recognized when God has reached out to you in your darkest hour. Maybe you've thought about a time that you've shared God's grace in your life with other people. Maybe you think about that daily prayer that I know I pray, God, please continue to protect and be merciful to me and to those I love so dearly. In Psalm 40, the author of these words, the psalmist is clearly sharing, clearly attempting to give voice to God's saving grace in his or her life. And the way in which God is described in this psalm is just this vital reminder for us of the kind of God we serve, a God of faithfulness, a God who is there for us no matter what, rescuing us from trouble, sustaining us throughout our lives, and constantly calling us to share God's love and faithfulness with those around us. This morning, friends, the heart of our scripture, you know, it's not particularly challenging or complex for us to understand, is it? God is faithful. Even and especially when life is hard, this psalm reminds us, the psalmist gives witness here that God is faithful. And yet, as we look at just this small portion of the psalm today, I indicated we skipped around a little bit, and there's even 17 full verses in Psalm 40. But as we look at this small portion we've read today, we see all the ways God is faithful to us. And I think the thoughts and the actions of the psalmist in this scripture compel us to ask, how are we being faithful to God? The example provided by the psalmist in these verses, I think it pushes us and challenges us. Maybe it even encourages us and empowers us to take some time to reflect inward just a little bit and ask ourselves, if God is always faithful to us, how might we be faithful to God? What is the example the writer of Psalm 40 shows us to celebrate and honor God's promise of faithfulness that we've been singing about this morning? God's promise of faithfulness in our lives. Well, if we go back and we look and we immediately go to verse 1, right away we are given this picture of how we might be faithful to God and gratitude for God's faithfulness to us. So if you still got your Bibles out, I want to encourage you to turn back to them. I did not model well. I closed mine and put it down. So, but you grab yours if you still have it. And look at what that first verse says. Remember, I read in the Common English Translation, I put all my hope in the Lord. That's a faithful thing to do, right? I put all my hope in the Lord. Well, the original Hebrew is actually closer to a translation like, waiting, 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 I waited for the Lord. And so the sense here is very much an active sort of waiting. It's not necessarily patient waiting, which is what a lot of translations unfortunately interpret and translate. They say, I waited patiently for the Lord, which is a very familiar phrase to many of us, isn't it? But rather, the sense of waiting here is one of expectation. It's this active, hopeful waiting, a real, I'm really ready for this kind of waiting, a waiting not so much filled with anxiety or distress, but filled with this audacious and persistent hope, this expectation that God is faithful, that God will lean down, God will listen to our cries for help, God will rescue us and steady us. You know, immediately following the imagery here of this psalmist in the pit of death, we get the image of him covered in mud and filth. All of a sudden, we see this person restored. God plucks this one up, saves him, sets him down on solid rock, healthy and whole, with steady legs and stability in God. And once out of this devastating experience, what does God do for this person but act faithfully once again by putting a new song in the mouth of the one saved, this song of praise for our God? It's not too hard in reading this scripture to get the sense that having walked through the fire, this person cannot help but say thank you to God. This is one who has a new song of deep gratitude and a profoundly changed life because of what God has done to rescue and restore and redeem. And from this point on, in Psalm 40, we begin to hear this new song that is being sung, that not only the psalmist who experienced that very direct, very tangible rescue by God is affected and changed for the better, but that all of those who hear this new song are now amazed by God as well. So that all of a sudden, it's not just the salvation of the one in the pit that is celebrated, but it's all of the others who now put their trust in God because they too have seen the ways God has moved. They have heard this person witness to what God has done, the change in the life of this one beloved child of God. God is always faithful to us. How are we faithful to God? As we follow the example of Psalm 40, we see that God's promise of faithfulness to us takes on its most dynamic form, takes on its most transformative possibilities when we too share God's faithfulness with others. So here again, these words in verses 8 through 10, I want to do your will, my God. This person says, God, your instruction is deep within me. I got to go, you know, Hebrew geek again and go back to the original Hebrew and tell you that it actually talks about the instruction, the word of God being in this person's guts. It's just so much a part of who this person is. God's love, God's faithfulness resides so deep within. And he says, I've told the good news of your righteousness in the great assembly, just to anyone who would listen, and I didn't hold anything back. Lord, I didn't keep your righteousness only to myself. No, I declared your righteousness, your faithfulness, your salvation. I didn't hide your loyal love, God. No, I have shared it. I have told people about it. It's as if somehow Psalm 40 teaches us simultaneously about both the same old God we've always known and the brand new song we are called to sing. Our God who is righteous, who makes things right, the one who is faithful to save us, the one who has loyal love for us, the one who is trustworthy and compassionate, this God is to be praised. And the good news of God's love is not meant to be kept to ourselves. We are meant to broadcast this love loudly, joyfully, for all to hear, so that every single person may know the love and the grace of our God. Because here's the thing, the hard reality that we may not recognize upon first reading of this psalm, the hard reality is that not everyone has been lifted out of the pit just yet. Amen? We know some people in the pit right now. Maybe we're there. Not everyone has steady legs yet. Not everyone has their feet on the solid rock of Christ, our Lord, yet. Not everyone has heard or known the song of praise we sing to our saving God, not just yet. And what's more, if we read on in Psalm 40, if you keep reading, you discover that even this psalmist who is singing the new song of God's love and salvation, even this one who has known restoration and rescue and healing, even this one can fall back into the pit of death and despair at any moment. Even this one can become unsteady and unstable once again. In those last few verses of Psalm 40, we hear the cry once more for help and deliverance, for mercy and favor. The psalmist says, the Lord is great, but me, I am weak and I am needy. And so for as much as Psalm 40 begins with this expectant and hopeful waiting of the psalmist, it ends with this plea for God to not wait any longer, but to come quickly to help and to rescue and to save. You see, friends, the struggles and the pain, the trials and the hardships of life come and they go, don't they? And they always will, won't they? And we don't always know where we are going to find ourselves in the midst of them. And so in the underlying story of Psalm 40, the psalmist goes from a song of praise to one of pleading, from a song of joy to a cry for help. And I think that if we are honest with ourselves, this same experience is not unfamiliar to us either. We've all known challenge and trauma, yes? And perhaps we have experienced that time when God has delivered us. But maybe then some time goes by and we hurt once more. And maybe God delivers again. But then devastation comes to those who are close to us, or maybe those who are in Australia, or those who are in Puerto Rico, or those who are just down the street, and we look for and we pray for and we do whatever we can to help work toward God's restoration in someone else, so that even in the midst of the joy and the celebration of this psalm, even in the midst of the joy and the celebration in our own lives, we are a people who always remember those who are still in the pit. And we can be certain that God remembers them too. And we sit here and we reflect on Psalm 40, on God's movement in our lives, and we are left to wonder, my God, how you are always faithful to us. How are we faithful to you? On this day, before we celebrate the life of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I want you to know that we in the United Methodist Church also observe Human Relations Day. And this is a day to celebrate these shared ministries that occur through United Methodist Community Developers, through Global Voluntary Services, and through youth offender rehabilitation programs. These shared ministries of United Methodists the world over seek to empower. They seek to enliven all of God's children. They seek to heal communities in their most broken and despairing places. They partner with those who might just be in the pit. And they remind us all that as members of God's beloved family, we sing God's new song best when we love our neighbor most. My dear friends, as members of this beloved community, I pray that we may know that even as we are each called to sing our own song of gratitude, our own song of thanks and praise to our God, you know, your song might sound a little bit different than mine. And some of us are on the joy-filled side of things, and some of us are still in the pit, and maybe still others of us are sitting here listening, simply quiet and reflective and contemplating the song that we hear other people singing about the faithfulness of this God we are just coming to know. No matter where we find ourselves, Psalm 40 reminds us that when we sing songs of gratitude to God for God's faithfulness, God's loyal love and trustworthiness, then God's word, God's heart can begin to reside so very deep within us. And when this happens, when our hearts begin to change and they begin to look more like God's heart, I mean, don't you just wonder whether or not our songs might begin to sound more like the songs of others? Isn't that what happens when we are in precious, holy community with one another? God changes us, transforms us. We love God better because God helps us love all of our neighbors more. God is always faithful to us. And so this day, as we prayerfully and sincerely consider how we are faithful to God, I pray that Psalm 40 would remind us that singing a song of praise and gratitude to God means working for restoration and wholeness for all. This is simply who God is: faithful, trustworthy, the one who leans down and crawls into that pit with us and takes us up and sets us out on firm ground, steadies our path, makes things right through Jesus Christ, makes us right. The God who saves us, heals us, makes us whole, makes us new. How will we share God's heart, God's loving kindness in tangible ways with this world God loves so much this day? Friends, what new song is God calling you to sing? Will you pray with me? God, when we open up your word, especially when we open up the book of Psalms, we see, God, our very selves. We see a very real representation of who we are. We are weak. We do need you. We are desperate for you, God. So we ask that you would give us the strength and the hope and the determination that we need to believe that you really are the faithful God we know you to be. God, we ask that you would change us and transform us, that you really would just become a part of who we are. You would change our hearts, Lord, that as you are faithful to us, we might be faithful to you. Because we know in loving you, you teach us to love one another. And in loving one another, God, your heart is made whole. So help us make that wholeness come. In Jesus' name we pray.